17. So that's good. All right. So I'd like to start off today, and you know, it's very interesting how God has a plan for us. A lot of what I had planned for this morning was mentioned within the worship. So I'll be done in like 5 minutes. And please, I'd like to turn to John chapter 1 first to start. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jump to verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Amen. That is a direct sign that Jesus Christ is God and that the Word is God. Someday we're going to meet God, and I have a feeling that he's going to want to refer to his Word. So it's up to us to be able to know his Word and understand his Word. So, today, I have a slideshow, so hopefully you can see it, hear it, and I said, picture this. Because a lot of us are visual learners, and knowing the Word of God is, it's a lot of words. I don't know how many. But I remember last week, Caleb mentioned, man, your Bible's thick. It's not thick because of long words, it's thick because it's large print. But they say pictures are like 1,000 words. And so today I've gathered a slideshow to highlight some things in picture. So you should see here, side by side, on the right, you see an alien that the world thinks an alien looks like. And on the left, you'll see an alien. Knows is an alien. Someone whose home is in heaven. Right? We started off our worship meeting about where our home is. Our home is not here on earth. It's in heaven. So this is just an example how there's a contrast between the way the people of the world think and believers. Same word. Alien. You know, the Word of God says in Daniel chapter 12, says, "Many shall run to and fro, knowledge shall increase." We're seeing that today. We're seeing technology that's advancing. So I've actually used some of that technology for my presentation today. I've used AI. AI is now able to take text and make it into a picture. So I have a young helper here, Christian.
Hi.
And Christian and I were studying together. And so I'm going to have him help me because I had AI create these images of these verses. But I want you guys to take a hard look at these pictures as Christian reads these verses. Because once again, how do we see them? So, let's get with the first one. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14.
"Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few.
So I entered the verses to AI and pumped out this photo here. And as a visual, we see a narrow path. And thank God for that. There's only one way to get to heaven. One way. And look how broad the way is to not to get to heaven. Look at all the people that are on their way to heaven versus to hell. So I thought this was a great verse, or a couple verses, to be able to share and see that there's a one way gate, and that's Jesus Christ. He said, I am the gate. I am the way. So thank God for that. The broad path leads to destruction. Matthew chapter 13.
The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather up his kingdom, all causes of sin and all sins, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
That's what this picture is. This is very important. There is a hell and there is a heaven, and you will either go to one of them. Now, the picture of the fiery lake where there's gnashing of teeth and just torture eternal is real. And this is going to happen. This is going to happen. I've shown you a couple pictures. Some will be in the past. Some will be in the future. And so this is important for us as believers to be able to share what we know, the truth, with others. All right. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I had to actually take several verses from this to get the picture that I wanted. I wanted, first of all, the picture of Goliath. He is, in chapter 17, verse 4, it describes Goliath as a champion. He is someone who has fought many years in war and is still alive. He has battle wounds all over. He's giant. But it does a description that is not familiar to us in this day. For example, says his height was 6 cubits in span. Who knows what that is? How do you calculate that? Helmet of bronze on his head. He was armed with a coat of mail. Weighted coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. Who knows what that is? Look at the picture. It describes Goliath and his armor, his size. And then also within those verses is the description of David, the complete opposite. We have David, who is very young, has never been in a battle with an army against other men. He tried on some armor, didn't fit him because he was so small. He's like, I can't fight this. So he grabs his little sack and some smooth rocks, and he's off. What's interesting within these verses is Goliath is there mean and ready to fight and ready to kill, and he's challenging everybody, and when the people see him, they fear him, and they flee. David went to deliver some loaves of bread to his brothers who had fought in battles before. And when he was there, he saw Goliath. He did not flee. He heard what Goliath was saying, about him defying Israel. And he said, no way, that's not going to happen. I will fight him. I will fight him. And who did he have in his back? God. You know, if there was a fight between Goliath and David, and if you were a better, you'd probably bet on Goliath. Doesn't look like a challenge. But guess what? David had God on his side. The next one I'd like to go over is in Genesis chapter 19, verses 24 through 26. Technical difficulties.
Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities. And what grew on the ground, but Lot's wife behind him looked back and she became a pillar of salt.
So this picture is. So in the back you had the cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, up in flames. Ai didn't quite capture Lot's wife looking backwards, but that's her as a pillar of salt. The reason why I chose these verses is because we're seeing what happened within Sodom and Gomorrah. I also chose it because in the New Testament, you see it in several different books. You see it in Matthew, you see it in Luke, you see it in Revelation, where God talks about this event. And so I thought it was important to highlight and be reminded of that. A couple things you can draw from that. Sodom and Gomorrah became a big pool of sin. Sin galore. And there's pleasure in it. And one point that I could point out would be Lot's wife didn't want to let that go. She had to look back. And sometimes we fall into that trap too, as believers. Because just because you become a believer doesn't mean you fall back into sin. We're still sinners. We're just sinners saved by grace. There's a big difference. I'll talk more about that at a later meeting with the audience. But I thought this was very important to be able to highlight. And if you'd like to take a look at it, I know we've got a later start today, but if you'd like to take a look at something, you can see in Luke chapter 10, verse 12, and Luke chapter 17, 28 through 30. But one thing I'd like to also mention too about this is if a city that has sin is kind of like when you buy blackberries or blueberries or grapes and they're sitting out a little too long, one of them gets mold, another gets mold, they all have them. And that's what I look at this scene as, is if sin is not called sin, then everybody's fine. And I did a Google search, and within Charlotte, there's 644 churches. It's a lot of churches. There's hundreds of churches within a 10-mile radius of our house. I chose 10 miles because that's how far Bear Bluff is. It's Matthews. And there's people out there worshiping and going to churches where sin is not called sin. And so, one of the questions I always ask myself from time to time is, am I feeding the flesh or am I feeding the spirit? And that's one good way to be able to have a better focus on what you're doing. What you're doing, what you're listening to, what you're studying. So am I feeding the flesh or am I feeding the spirit? Okay. We have a side-by-side. The past and the future. On the left, you'll see... Thank you, Christian. On the left, you'll see Jesus on a donkey. On the right, you'll see Jesus on a white horse. So I'd like to read the verses for the left. We see it in Matthew chapter 21, verses 5 and 8, or 5 through 8. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the fowl of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Now, I don't know much about donkeys. I grew up in Kansas. We had cows. Had horses, and he trained horses. So yes, I do know how to ride horses. But I will say, donkeys are known for being stubborn. And I do know that young horses don't like people, and you have to break them to be able to ride them. And so I'm just thinking about this scene here, and we have a king who has humbled himself to the back of a donkey. A donkey that, if anybody else tried to ride it, probably would not be able to ride it. Now, when I was younger, we had calves. We brought calves back to our house. We had a small pasture, and we brought the calves back where the mother died and fed them. One day I thought I'd be cool, and I thought, oh, I can ride this calf. Little did I know how wide that calf was. That calf did not have a saddle, but I tried to get on its back, and it did not end nice. And so I look at this picture, and I think, here we have someone who is above all and has lowered himself a little one to humble himself and become a servant, even unto death. But that's not all. The story hasn't ended. We can see on the right how we have the future. And it was read this morning by Steve, thank you. That just shows you how God connects with us. He is in our midst. He has us connected in common with Him. So I'm going to have Christian read this. I will say before he reads it, that once again AI was off on it. But it does show, and it's a little blurry, but it does show a lot of what's said, just not as accurate as it could be. So Christian, why don't you go ahead and read Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16.
saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them abroad by fire. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name and King of Kings.
Amen. It's coming. And what a name. We have a couple different names here. We have Word of God. We have the Unknown One, and then we also have King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a great joy it would be. And as it was mentioned by Steve earlier, behind our Savior, you can see a bunch of other people dressed in white on white horses. So someday he's going to call us home, and then he's going to return for this event. And we might be right behind him. The last photo here is about Jesus coming. He's coming. He's coming the way that he left. And so I put those verses in there, and we can read it. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Someday the world's going to see this. What a day that will be. So thank you, Christian, for helping us. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word tells us of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. What a great joy it is to know him and to know that we can draw near because his blood was shed for us. And the work is finished that saves us. We have believers that believe in the faith and accept the works that he has done. And then we have those that don't believe yet. We pray that they will see your word and come to you. So we thank you for being here with us today. And we thank you for helping us understand this. And we say this through Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.